Spotlight.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to our program, Spotlight. I'm Arjun Chaudhary, and today we will be discussing about the Jan Vishwas Amendment of Provisions Bill 2026. And we will be discussing this with our eminent journalist, Deepshikha Sikarwar. A warm welcome to you in the program.
Thank you, Arjun.
Deepshikha, for the benefit of our listeners on Akashvani, we will divide the discussion into two parts. The first part would be on the levy of property tax that includes building taxes and the vacant land tax, whereby the amendments to the New Delhi Municipal Council Act 1994 allows for the establishment of a municipal valuation committee and a hardship and anomaly committee. That's the first part. The second part would be on how 80 central acts have been decriminalized, or the offenses and penalties have been rationalized for the benefit of the individual and for businesses as well, because they are encouraged to carry out their entrepreneurship activities and the business in general. So we would be discussing about how offenses have been decriminalized, how prison terms have been removed, how offenses have been omitted, and there is a revision of fines and penalties that are applicable. So Deepshikha, let's begin by understanding what is this imposition of property taxes and how important is it in the New Delhi area?
Arjun, first of all, Jan Vishwas is a step forward. It takes from government's entire ease of doing business and ease of living initiative. We've seen the government's taken multiple steps towards that. There was a Jan Vishwas 1 which came out, and now Jan Vishwas 2 was brought in to sort of move towards this trust-based governance. Now, moving to what you asked on what has been done to New Delhi Municipal Act. So essentially, there's an overhaul of the property tax provisions. There's a new provision which has been introduced, the unit area method, whereby, you know, the building and the land charges will be separate. This could bring down the property taxes by about 30 to 50%. Many provisions where liability was criminal, they've been converted into fines, or there have been moved to penalties, which is percentage based now. Multiple provisions have been brought in, willful defaults, or, you know, say even minor offenses, there would be warnings for willful defaults, they'd be treated differently. But there is a significant shift to bring in fines and penalties instead of imprisonment. New framework sort of provides for setting up a valuation committee, which will define the value of land and buildings annually. There is a grievance redressal forum which is being put in place, a hardship and anomaly committee which has been brought in. So the idea is to cut down judicial burden and also ensure that there is ease of doing business. Also, you would free up land by doing so, you know, which would help citizens in making better use of the land. Of course, it would be in line with the zoning laws and the master plan and with requisite permissions that will be required. But definitely a significant reform of the entire framework which has been done for Delhi.
So we have seen that how traffic offenses are primarily misdemeanors, which are settled by the payment of fines either to the officer concerned or through a settlement system online. It seems to be extended also towards other acts which are deemed to be criminal under a variety of statutes, like the Drug and Cosmetics Act, the National Highways Act, you have the Indian Succession Act, you have the Electricity Act, you have the Delhi Municipal Corporation Act, you have the Copyright Act of 1957, and there are a total of 80 central acts where certain acts have been criminalized under the previous law, but now they have been decriminalized and rationalized into penalties which are civil in nature. How do you see not only the individuals but the business community reacting to this, because there is the obligation of compliances? How do you see all of that improving just in terms of sentiment?
Arjun, so if you see the entire initiative 1,000 plus offences have been decriminalised. 784 provisions across several central acts. Over 700 of these have been done for ease of doing business, and around 61 reforms to improve life of citizens. The whole idea is create an environment where businesses, particularly small businesses, they don't have to face imprisonment, missed a filing deadline, or if you've wrongly filled a return form, or some paper has been missed, in some submission has been missed. This act will do away with all those kind of offenses. Idea is that you build a trust-based system, you give a create an environment where small businesses, particularly small businesses and large businesses, they can function, they can become competitive, their compliance burden significantly comes down, they can grow in size, they can grow, and also as the country moves forward, as the country grows, they do not face such hurdles. Some of these laws have been like, they're very old. Some of them have been in existence since the British times, and they needed a revamp. There's been a regular sort of endeavor from government side to remove them, amend those redundant provisions. But a significant, like a comprehensive exercise, is being sort of undertaken in form of Jan Vishwas Amendment Bill number 2. Now, this one sort of builds on 4 pillars. Now, A, you warn before a punishment is given to someone. So trust a citizen, or trust, impose trust in a business that, okay, he may have made a mistake, so let's just impose a penalty and not push him into jail. Also, it should be in proportion of his offense. Even the penalties have to be proportional as per the offense committed, not random, that you have a fixed penalty and whether it is even a minor offense, the person has to suffer. So proportionality has been brought in, a fair and faster resolution. So even for a minor offense, if you have to knock the doors of courts for months and years together, the whole idea of the reform is lost. So a new framework is being created, new structures are being proposed to enable swift resolution, and also which will reduce the burden on courts. There is a dynamic penalty framework which is being created, which is being introduced, which will lead to periodic revisions so that the provisions of this law remain relevant. And you don't have to bring again, you know, wait for a larger review to happen. It would be done periodically. The law itself provides for this kind of a review.
So now the responsibility will lie with the authority of the civil administration. There is provisioning for the appointment of adjudicating officers to hold inquiries and adjudicate penalties in the form of fines which are imposed. There is also the appointment of appellate authorities to hear appeals against decisions of adjudicating officers. Even though this is a quasi-judicial court, but it will substantially remove the burden from the criminal courts, who actually look at felonies or more serious offences of a criminal nature. This distinction, how important it is for the public and the business community?
You have to see where this act is coming from. And when we say it is for ease of doing business and ease of living, so you have to ensure that systems, A, we are creating a framework, recognizes that individuals, also businesses, they have to be trusted. We are creating a governance system which is trust-based. Missing a return can be a mistake. Sometimes document can be inserted by mistake, unknowingly. Not everything should be treated as a criminal offense. So create structures, create a framework that is in line with India's ambition of becoming a developed nation. It matches with that, it supports that ambition, it allows citizens to breathe easy and also businesses to breathe easy and grow. It will reduce their compliance costs by, I think, a huge proportion. If you see a number of acts, we've seen a lot of redundant provisions and a lot of compliances have also been eased through this.
Companies also affected because they have to disclose any kind of criminal proceedings to potential investors looking to seek to invest into their business under the BNS Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita, which is the penal code for serious criminal offenses. You also have the criminal procedure code, the BNSS Bharatiya Nagrik Suraksha Sanhita. Instead of resorting to BNS and BNSS for the identification of criminal offenses and the procedure for investigating and then remanding the matter to trial, now you can simply have an adjudicating officer who will adjudicate the matter itself and then order what is the penalty to be paid just under the relevant provisions of the acts under which these infractions have taken place, like the Drugs and Cosmetics Acts or the Electricity Act or the National Highways Act of 1956. So in a way, we are looking at how we are able to see the distinction between what's a felony, a serious criminal offense, and what's a misdemeanor, which has been a mistake or an infraction by the individual concerned and which can be settled in the form of a civil penalty.
Whole idea is to distinguish between that someone can make a mistake, there can be a genuine mistake. And if you become habitual of making a mistake, how should you be dealt with? And if you are making that, whatever, if you're committing that act with an intent and you're repeatedly sort of doing it, then you have to be dealt with differently. So I think this act is bringing that distinction that people, individuals, companies treat them with trust and also bring proportionality. So adjudicating authorities or the appellate authorities which are being set up, they will obviously look at past history. A lot of these fines which were there, they have also been converted into penalties. So bring in proportionality. So if it is a second offense, maybe the proportion may be higher. So authorities would decide that. It is, in sense, modernizing the framework with current times and global best practices that exist as on date. It takes, revamps and reforms the entire approach towards it. It's a very significant reform that has been undertaken by the government.
The 2025 bill was withdrawn because it was seeking to amend 17 central acts, and it was then referred to a select committee of Lok Sabha chair, Mr. Tejasvi Surya. And then based on the recommendations of the select committee, the Jan Vishwas Amendment of Provisions Bill 2026 was introduced in the Lok Sabha on March 27, 2026. And then it sought to amend 80 central acts. What brought about this change and development in terms of reforming the legal system?
The idea was, when the government was undertaking this exercise and there was a report before the committee, the idea is to, you know, not do it piecemeal. Let's do a comprehensive exercise, more expansive exercise, to see that we don't have to revisit again and again. It's not, a lot of stakeholder consultations were carried out by the committee also and the Commerce and Industry Ministry also, which has piloted this bill in the parliament, which has now been passed. Extensive stakeholder consultations over past 1 year. And the suggestions, they were sort of incorporated, they were also passed on to the committee, which is why you've seen a very comprehensive bill that was brought into the parliament. The idea was, if you're doing it, let's do it as a significant reform, which will have a far more better reach and would cover multiple acts rather than doing it like piecemeal over several years. So if we're doing it, let's do it, make the entire exercise more effective and more expansive.
Thank you, Deepshika Sikarwar, for being with us on this program and giving us insight into the workings of the Jan Vishwas Amendment of Provisions Bill 2026.
Thank you, Arjun.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.